Jesus. And Scripture says that if we just lift Jesus up, He'll draw people to Himself. And that's what we're here to do. And we're glad that you're here with us today. Thanks for being here. And if you're a guest today, thank you for coming. And to the Scouts, thank you for being here to be a part of what we're doing here at Covenant Church. It's always good to celebrate Scout Sunday. And Ross and Scott, I appreciate what you guys do. And Brian was here. Brian Adams was here earlier this morning. So if you're ever here on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, and you're like, what in the world is going on here? Well, the Boy Scouts are here on Mondays, and it's crazy. I mean, they got more Boy Scouts than I've ever seen in my life. And a lot of them Eagle Scouts, right? I mean, you've had a lot of Eagle Scouts. How many?
Four this year.
55 Eagle Scouts. 50. Did you hear that? That's cool. That's really. And Tuesday nights, biggest, what'd you say, the biggest Cub Scout pack in the area? And Scott does that and his leaders. And I know you guys couldn't do it yourselves. You got a great group of leaders and we're so grateful. I mean, 60-some Cub Scouts, right? 70-plus Cub Scouts. I mean, how cool is that? Come on. That's awesome stuff. We're grateful. So grateful that we can be a part of that and to be their charter and have them here. Jay serves as our liaison between our Scouts and our church ministry, and that's cool. And so if you ever have anything you want to say about the Scouts, you talk to Jay, and he'll pass that on, or they have to us. It's a cool stuff. But what a blessing. By the way, I heard this morning. Brian tells us that the Boy Scouts are doing some kind of survival something this coming Saturday. We really need to pray for these guys. Listen, they got to be out here on our property, right? On our property, no tents, not under the pavilion, out in the open. Survival something. Survival night. Wow. Let's pray for them, for sure. So let's keep them in our prayers. What a blessing it is to have the scouting ministry as a part of our church. And, you know, we've heard a lot of controversy about the scouting ministry nationwide. But what I think is really cool is, you know, Ross and the scout leadership of our troop stays very in close contact with us as the leadership of the church. And we're on the same page. And we're excited about that. You know, we don't have to worry about what's going on in scouting ministry everywhere else because we know what's going on here. And that's a cool thing. And we're excited about that and excited to be part of that. So, by the way, if you're here today and you've been thinking about maybe membership here at Covenant Church or maybe you just kind of want to know what makes Covenant Church tick. We're doing Starting Point after church today. We're going to do a little lunch thing. And if you'd like to stay, we'd love to have you be a part of that and just hang out with us and just to see what makes us tick. We'll have you out of here by 2 o'clock. So that's pretty good, just so you know. If you're ever around me for meetings, that's really good. So it's a good thing. So how many of you remember this guy? Can you hear me now? You know, he was with Verizon, right? And he was all over the country, all over the place. He'd be up on mountains. He'd be in, you know, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I got to think about this when I was reading this scripture from James chapter 1 today, this past week. I got to think about this guy because it made me think, I wonder if God ever feels that way about us. Can you hear me now? I wondered if we can really, do we ever hear God? Do we really want to hear God? Do we really listen to Him if and when we do hear Him? Just made me think of this guy and maybe think about our series and, you know, doing this series on the book of James. And we jumped in last week as we jumped into this doing real faith in real life. Last week, if you were here, you know that we started down this path talking about struggles and trials and life's hard times and kind of the purpose of them, the purpose of all that junk that goes on in our life is really to allow us to move up stepping stones to a place of spiritual maturity. Those things happen in our lives so that we can keep growing up and move higher and go to the next level in our maturity and our faith experiences. Now listen, here's what we know about James. He never, ever promises that life is going to be easy or pleasant. You read through the letter of James, there's not one word in there that says, hey, y'all, just so you know, when you follow Jesus, life's going to be a piece of cake. What he does want us to understand is that growing up and maturing as a Jesus follower is not automatic. It takes work. It sometimes takes hard work. It's a choice that we make every day. Someone said there's a difference between age and maturity. Everyone grows old, but not everybody grows up. And James wants us to do both. James wants us to grow old, but he also wants us to grow up in maturity as a follower of Christ, to become more like Christ, to develop more Christ-like qualities, to discover how to have real faith in real life. So before we jump in too far this morning, grab your bulletin or your Bible, if you have your Bible with you, and turn to that passage from James chapter 1. And I want to talk about a really, really important little phrase that's found in the midst of this passage that if we're not careful, we would breeze right past it. We would blow right past it. We would read past it and not even think about it. And so I want to make sure we don't miss it. If you have a pencil, by the way, or a pen, you might want to grab that and just hang on to it, because I'm going to encourage you to underline some things, write some things down as we go through today. But here you go. In verse 16, three words. A very strong warning from James to those who love Jesus. And if we all love Jesus, this warning is for you and for me as well. Don't be misled. See it? Verse 16. Don't be misled. If you got a pen or pencil, circle that. Don't be misled. And that phrase means don't be deceived. Especially don't be, listen to this, self-deceived. Don't allow yourself to be led astray. Don't allow yourself to wander from the truth. Don't be misled. Some author put it like this. Every person, every human being has this infinite capacity to deceive themselves. When it comes to self-deception, there are several shades of gray. Okay, so here's what we're talking about. How many times have you said, how many times have I said, how many times have we heard someone say these words? Oh, that'll never happen to me. You ever said that? You ever heard it said? Oh, that'll never happen to me. We are so easily deceived. We so easily deceive ourselves in thinking, it'll never happen to me. That's not something that'll ever be a part of my life. You and I both know that when we're looking down the barrel at trials and testing and hardship. When we're staring down the barrel at temptations, we are incredibly open, wide open, and vulnerable to deception, especially self-deception. And James is basically saying this. When you know Jesus, you know the truth. So don't get suckered by believing something that's not true. So I want to talk a little bit about the danger of self-deception. I want to talk a little bit about the danger of being misled. I mean, James is pretty clear. Don't be misled. So he must be saying that because there's great danger in that. So I want to talk about that just for a few minutes this morning. We are in danger of being misled when we mistake the source of our temptation. It's not all the time that the devil made us do it. We're pretty good at finding ourselves. We're pretty good at putting ourselves in that spot of being tempted. I'm not going to belabor this morning, but just let me say a couple things about the temptations that we face in life. And I'm going to refer back to verses 13 to 18. I'm not going to read it, but I just want to jump back in and refer back to it. I want to say three things about this thing called temptation. First of all, I'm going to tell you this. It's not if you're going to be tempted, it's when. James is really clear. Not if, it's when. Second thing, temptation is not from God. It's not from God. It's from us. It's rooted in us. And the third thing is that when we're tempted, God provides a way out. So let me go back and talk about these real quick. First one, not if, it's when. Verse 13, circle that word, when. It's when we are tempted. It's going to happen. It's coming. Listen, Satan tempts us. Our enemy tempts us to bring out the worst in us. God allows those testings. God allows those temptations because He wants to bring out the best in us. God's purpose is never to cause us to stumble, but to humble us and to refine us and make us more like Jesus. Not if, when. Second thing, temptation is not from God. Verses 14 and 15. It's rooted in you and me. It's been that way since the garden. It happens in us. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light and there is no darkness in Him at all. God is holy and pure. God doesn't even want to look on sin. I mean, that was the whole point of the flood. The sin in the world, it was kind of making Him wrench with it was so gross. It's our own inability to withstand the seduction of evil and the solicitation of wrong in our world. Maybe you've heard about the guy that was on a diet, but he loved donuts. And he, you know, downtown in his little community, right downtown, and he had to go right past his place to go to work, was the best little donut shop and coffee shop in the community. I mean, donuts to die for, right? And so he had to drive by this thing. He said, God, don't, you know, if you don't want me to have a donut this morning, then please let there not be a parking spot. So he drives downtown, drives by the donut shop. Sure enough, there's not a parking spot. Until he went around the seventh time. Ha ha. so often, I mean, that's the way it is. So often we're enticed by the things that look good or feel good or taste good, but, and maybe they're all good in their own right, but they're not good for us as Jesus followers. And so here's the thing. I said that God provides a way out. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul is so clear that when we're tempted, God always provides a way of escape. So it's not if, it's when. It's not God that's tempting, it's most of the time it's us. It's our own enticement by stuff we see and do, want to do. And when that temptation comes, we need to know that there's a way out. Here's the problem. Once we step onto that slippery slope of seduction, it's way easy to slide right past that way of escape. There's a way of escape out there. Don't miss it. Second thing I want to talk about. There's a danger in being misled, self-deceived, when we talk too much and forget to listen. You ever been accused of that? Talking too much and forgetting to listen? I've been working on that for a long time. And my progress to this point, what I've discovered, I'm not there yet. Still have a ways to go. I not only need to talk, but I need to really listen. Look at verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. And I love the way that Eugene Peterson says it in the message. It's in italics there. Post this at all of the intersections. I mean, it's like a stop sign. Wouldn't that be cool? If it'd be suddenly, that would be there at the intersection, every choice that we have, everything we've got to decide about, every time temptation comes our way, every time we're in a conversation with somebody, hey, listen, be slow to speak. Quick to listen. And slow to get angry. And that's what James, listen, wow, that's what he's saying. Post that. Lead with your ears. Follow up with your tongue. Let anger straggle along in their rear. Listen, here's why. Verse 20. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. James means to really stop everything. Really pay attention. Really concentrate. Really focus. And listen. I mean, we could talk about a lot of different things. There's a lot of sermons right there in that little phrase. We could talk about husbands and wives and their relationships. We could talk about friendships. We could talk about a lot of things here. What James is talking about. But here, let me just walk through this. Be quick to listen. And that's not an easy thing for most of us. Be quick to listen. I want you to think about the last 10 conversations you've had with people. Last 10. How careful were you? How careful was I to listen? Really listen. Here's what happens most of the time. While somebody else is talking, what are we doing? We are formulating a response. We're not listening. We're thinking, how can I come back to that? How can I respond to that? What James is saying, wait a minute. Listen, time out. Listen. Or, not only are we formulating in our own minds, sometimes in the midst of the other person's conversation, we just talk right over the top of them. We don't even give them a chance to finish. We don't give them a chance to take a breath. We want to get our point out. I don't know if that ever happens to you. Never happens to me. I mean, does it? Never happens to me. So think about, okay, be quick to listen. So think about how that translates over to our relationship with God. How do we listen to Him? You know, typically what we hear from God by reading His Word. Or by doing what we're doing this morning, gathering together in worship. Or by singing. Or spending time with one another and sharing life with each other. Or looking at the Bible in personal study time. But how many times are we reading and really listening? How many times are we really listening to what God says to us instead of thinking about what we're going to have for lunch or thinking about what the kids are doing or thinking about what I have to do and what am I on my to-do list today? I mean, I find myself so distracted sometimes by stuff, by multitasking. I make a mess of myself. I need to learn to listen carefully. Be quick to listen. How easy it is to be misled. How easy it is to be self-deceived when we think that we've done our duty by spending time reading the Word, by having our devotions. How easy it is to be self-deceived in that and think, oh, okay, cool. I've done what I'm supposed to do, but I've totally missed what God wanted to say to me because I didn't really listen. I don't know if that ever happens to y'all. Been there, done that. I got the little trophy, by the way. It's on my trophy case thing. I've done it so much. Be slow to speak. You've probably heard the saying, you know, God created us with two ears and one mouth so that we ought to listen twice as much as we speak. What James is really saying here is, look, before you open your mouth and let something out that you don't really want to be out there, that you wish you could, I don't know, maybe you've never done this either. Maybe this stuff never happens to y'all. I don't know. But, you know, you say something, and before you can grab it and suck it back in, it's too late, it's out. And it's been hurtful, it's been painful, it's been awful. James said, whoa, listen, be slow to speak. Take a breath. Be careful about what you say. Be careful about what you put out there. Don't be hasty and say something you can never, ever take back. Be slow to get angry. Anger has a way to sneak up on you. I think that's why road rage happens so easily. You know, you're just kind of tooling along. Everything's cool. Everything's good. All of a sudden, somebody, you know, it just... anger sneaks up on you. James says, look, be slow to anger. You know, it's like back, you know, my car today, I've got this really cool thing on my dashboard. It's a temperature gauge. Right? Most of us have those. I can look at my temperature gauge and I can tell by where that temperature gauge is if everything's good. Back in the day, I had another car. Didn't have a temperature gauge. You know what it had? An idiot light. You know what an idiot light is? Wait, that wasn't rhetorical. Yes? Yeah, idiot lights. Yeah, idiot lights. They just come on. And by the time that comes on, too late. You've blown your engine up. Or you've blown, I mean, it's crazy. James says, look, be slow to anger. Don't, watch the gauges. Be careful. Are we tuned in to those things in our lives that light the fuse? So why is this anger thing such a big deal? Why does James make such a big deal out of this? Oh, he says it in verse 20. Because human anger will never produce the righteousness that God desires. Okay, third thing. Third thing that we're in danger of when we're to be being misled and self-deceived. When we think that just hearing is good enough. It's really more about hearing and doing. Hearing and doing. Verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. If we're only listening, then we're just fooling ourselves. Jump down to verse 27. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God and God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress, refusing to let the world corrupt you. Hear it. James is like, yes, hear it. Listen to it. That's a given. But don't just hear it. Put it into practice. Do it. And what does that mean? Listen, the thing I love about James, I know there are a lot of people who really don't like the letter of James. I mean, they're like, I don't even want to read that thing because the dude never lets up on you. And he doesn't let up on us. I mean, he just hammers. It's like sentence after sentence. It's like, you know, look, you didn't get enough last week. Here, boom. And he hammers us again. He doesn't let us off the hook. Listen, in the church today, there's a lot of activity. And I'm not just talking about Covenant Church. In the church, there's a lot of activity. But in the end, there's very little action. People are willing to read the scriptures and pray and share life with each other. All that's really good. But if that's all we do, it's like getting our kids a gift at Christmas that has a set of instructions. And taking that instructions and read through it. And then I'm going to sit down and say, Dinah, help read through this with me. Oh, let's talk about this set of instructions. Oh, that's really good. Gosh, we could put this together. It'd be really cool. And then we put the instructions back in a little envelope. And we put the envelope back in the bicycle. And we set it off in the corner and say, oh, that was nice. And James is saying, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We hear God's word, but we've got to do something about it. Hearing and doing go together. On the maiden voyage of the only voyage of the Titanic, actually. Yeah, the only voyage. Here's how this works. On that voyage, hearing and doing meant everything. It meant life and death. Because here's what happened. On the voyage of the Titanic, the ship's radio man, the Titanic's radio guy, received a message from another ship in the same area, the same night, that said, icebergs in the area. Be careful. He got the message, he wrote it down, and he set it on a stack of papers, and then before he knew it, he put something else on top of it, and the word that there were icebergs in the area never got to the captain. It made all the difference in the world. Hearing and doing. Hearing what you should do and doing what we should do. We don't have the luxury to think that we can just show up here 1 hour a week, once a month, whenever we kind of get the urge to come. That's the essence of being self-deceived and misled. We are so bombarded by our culture, by technology, by the media. Bombarded day after day, hour after hour, week after week. It's not enough to think we can just show up once in a while, and that's plenty. James says it doesn't work that way. We live like that, it's like looking in a mirror and then walking away and forgetting what we look like. I guess that's why we have to take selfies. I don't know. Because we don't want to forget. I'm not sure, but so then you got to ask the question, well, what does that doing part look like? Hearing, yes, okay. What's doing? What is that doing thing? Look at verse 27 one more time. Doing is caring for the least and the last and the lost. You want to write down another passage that talks about that? Write down Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 41. Read that later today. That tells you what doing is all about. That tells us what doing is for and why it's important. I don't know who wrote this, but this really captures so clearly the difference between hearing and doing. Listen to this. The difference between hearing and doing. I was hungry, and you formed a committee to talk about my hunger. I was imprisoned, and you went off quietly to your chapel and you prayed for my release. I was naked, and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your help. I was homeless, and you preached to me about the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely, and you left me alone so you could pray for me. You seem so holy, so close to God. And here I am, still hungry, still lonely, and still cold. Ouch. The difference between hearing and doing. So, do we hear him now? Do we really want to hear him now? And just what are we going to do about it?